the day gets closer when Jesus returns, we as believers have to step up our game. And don't think that the miracles of God are so common that we forget about them. Oh yeah, that's routine. That's normal. No. Amen? Anytime that God does something, anywhere that God is, anytime that God is moving, he needs to be celebrated. Amen? Well, I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 18. Well, we're going to start with verse 15. And the Bible tells us, see that none, everybody say none, render evil for evil. So if someone wants to insult you, let them. Because if you know the truth about you, about what God says about you, what is that insult? You got to let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Render evil for evil unto any man, but even follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. God wants us to rejoice. Pray without ceasing. He wants us to have a, you know, just whenever, when something arises, we should pray. Our first response is prayer. Amen? In everything, everybody say in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all the appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless. And so we began a series last week about the key to giving and receiving. And it's having a thankful heart, right? So this week, we want to cultivate thankfulness in our lives. Amen? We want to become thankful people. We want to become a people that express thanksgiving to God. How many know that it takes practice to follow Christ? That's why he said, my mercies are new every morning. That's why he described living by faith as a walk, not a sprint, amen? One step at a time, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept, okay? And we have to take the Word of God, we have to study it, we have to know it, and we have to apply our lives to it. Why do I say that? Because it's the standard, amen? When something is the standard, you don't lower the standard, you come up to that standard, amen? And we said last week that a thankful heart is conscious of a benefit received, expresses gratitude, is well pleased, and expresses appreciation publicly, and is grateful for who God is and what he has done, is quick to give God praise for all good things. Has God done something good for you? Yes. Amen. Then praise his name. Now, the opposite of that is an ungrateful heart, and they deprive a giver of his glory. It's a bad example for others to follow. It's distasteful. Ungratefulness prevents future gifts from coming to you and stops the flow of God's favor in your life. It's an attitude that's not pleasing to God. That's ungratefulness. It's unappreciative, thankless, unmindful, ungracious, unpleasant, and unrewarding. Thank God I'm not an unthankful person. Can you say amen? I want you to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and we're going to begin there today. And you know, it's always important. We do a series, so we spend extensive time focusing on a particular subject. And if you miss one, you can always listen to it online or get the CD, and it's important for you, amen? You can study this. And Philippians chapter 4, you know, we want to cultivate a thankful heart. We want to promote thankfulness. We want to encourage it. We want to support it and to develop it. And we want to enrich your thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Amen. So, Philippians chapter 4, and thankfulness does a pretty amazing thing. It connects your prayer with a promise. How many know that when you're a thankful person, you are confident in who God is and what He's done? So every one of your prayers should have thanksgiving in it. Whenever you pray, you should always start off by giving God thanks, because it's important, because that connects your prayer with God's promise. And when your prayer is connected with the promise, it produces God's power and you see miracles. Amen? Yes. Is everybody awake today?
Yes.
All right, we might have to do some jumping jacks a little bit later. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. God does not want you to be anxious about anything. You've got to resist anxiety in your life.
Amen.
But in everything, how do you resist anxiety? Trust God. Amen? Magnify God. Know that God is bigger. Listen, when trouble comes, you know that God is bigger. He'll handle the trouble, so trouble is no big worry. Okay, be careful enough, but in everything. Where else did we see everything? What are we supposed to do in everything? Give thanks. By prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. How many know that God hears a thankful heart? And God knows whether you're thankful or not, because He knows your heart. He knows when we're just trying to put on a facade and act like we're thankful when we're really not. God can read between the lines. The Word of God can discern between the soul and the spirit. So we're supposed to let prayer and our supplication be made with thanksgiving. Notice, when we do this, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are the two areas where we're going to mess up, is our heart and our mind. Our heart is where beliefs are formed, and our mind is where beliefs are carried out. Amen? Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And see, it's important that when we pray with thanksgiving, the promise is that the peace of God, which passes understanding, isn't that awesome that you have access to peace beyond your understanding? Trouble's going all around you. Why are you so peaceful? Things are happening. Why don't you care about the things that are happening? Because I have a peace that passes understanding. Now, what does that peace do? It keeps your heart and your mind focused on what? On Christ, which is the anointed one and His anointing. So, see, you're going to have to believe God. Romans 10 says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? Because believing is, or confession is made into salvation. All right, so the anointing of God, the peace of God, has to keep our heart and our mind, because the way to remain a thankful person is to guard your focus. You can't just think on anything. You can't just dwell on anything, because what you think on will become a part of you. I want to read this article that I came across. It's entitled, Thankfulness is Linked to Positive Changes in the Brain and the Body. This was done by Michaela Conley in 2011, who's a health reporter for Good Morning America. All right? She said this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just some things of it. A positive outlook and feelings of thankfulness can have a direct and beneficial effect on the brain and body. I believe that. She said that studies have shown measurable effects on multiple body and brain systems, And she interviewed this Dr. Murali Doraswamy, who is the head of the Division of Biological Psychology at Duke University Medical Center. That's a mouthful. So his studies have shown measurable effects on multiple body and brain systems. Those include the neurotransmitters, the reproductive hormones, social bonding hormones, cognitive and pleasure-related neurotransmitters, inflammatory and immune systems, stress hormones, and cardiac and EEG rhythms, blood pressure, and blood sugar. He said that his coaching clients, he said, I let them know that humans have something called a negativity bias. We know what that is, don't we? That's sin. Listen, when sin came into the earth, it affected our thinking and our outlook. And God has to deliver us from negativity. Okay? And so what happens is that the brain's fundamental organizing principle in life is to avoid threat and to maximize rewards. This is Mitch Watson, the CEO of Ochsner Medical Center in Baton Rouge. And he said the brain's primary reward chemical is called dopamine. The interesting thing, however, is that we can't feel rewards and threats unless we focus attention on them. Many good and bad things happen in our life every day, but until they come to our attention, we don't get the neurotransmitter release that allows us to feel good or bad. It's the attention that we give to these things. Amen? Then he goes on to say, feeling thankful for things that have happened acts as an internal movie or a mental movie. The brain releases dopamine, which in turn has a positive effect on mood and emotional well-being. He said, gratitude helps us counteract negativity. You want to stop being a negative person? Be a thankful person. You've got to focus on good stuff. A little focus can go a long way to improving one's psychological, social, and physical health. Doesn't the Bible tell us to look, to listen, to incline our ear, amen, to turn away from things? So that's interesting. I found that interesting. So here, the Apostle Paul is telling us that when you pray, you have to connect your thanksgiving, because a prayer with thanksgiving connects it to the promise and the power of God. And when you pray with thanksgiving, God is inclined to give you what you need. He'll give you a peace that passes understanding. He'll keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now then he goes on to say, if you want to keep the peace that God gives, he tells us to think on these things, right? So you can't just have the peace and say, okay, God, thank you for the peace. That's all I need. No. If you want to keep the peace, you've got to think on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Did you know that thanksgiving is a form of praise? Think on these things. We're not supposed to think about all the bad things that happen to us. Oh, this is bad. Why is this bad thing happening to me? Be quiet. What's good happening to you? Turn off the bad valve and turn on the good valve. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 4, which is right next door. He gives us a little nugget of information here of truth in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. See, when you're a thankful person, you know that God has the answers that you need. And so you approach God with gratefulness. You're grateful for who He is. He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's the King. He's the Provider. He is everything you need, everything you want, and everything you desire. And then you're thankful for what He does. He does great things. He can make the impossible possible. Amen? And when you come to God like that, do you know that your prayer will not go unanswered? Amen. When you approach God with that kind of attitude, but in order to do that, you're going to have to cultivate thanksgiving in your life. You're going to have to practice being thankful. You're going to have to practice expressing yourself to God. You know, when I first got saved, it wasn't a normal thing for me to raise my hands. I grew up in a church where no one ever raised their hands. Matter of fact, you couldn't talk in church. But when Jesus came into my heart, he filled my life with his love. The more I started to raise my hands, guess what? The easier it became. And now I'm not ashamed to raise my hands. See, because I've been practicing for years raising my hands. So when I begin to worship the Lord, I lift my hands. Why? Because I want to give my Father a hug. Because I know that that's where my help comes from. I know that I'm free, so I can lift my hands. Well, the same thing is true with thanksgiving. You've got to practice being thankful. You've got to cultivate a thankful spirit. You've got to identify any ungratefulness in your life. When things happen and those negative emotions start to arise, well, wait a minute, let's put it on pause. Put those negative emotions on pause, count to 10 and back again if you have to. What did Mama say? If you're not going to say anything nice, what did she say? Don't say anything at all. How many know that's a hard thing for some of us? Because we're so used to using our mouth as a sword or a dagger. But we've got to cultivate thanksgiving. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Notice, now do you think the Apostle Paul got a hold of something? He wrote half the New Testament. Do you think he hit a vein here? Notice chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Palmyra. Oh, no, I just added Palmyra in there. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. There was never a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed without giving thanksgiving first. He had a thankful heart. I mean, after all, he was a murderer, but now he's an apostle. He was used to incarcerating people, and now he's used to setting them free. Amen? He thought he was doing right until God appeared to him and showed him a better way, and now he's thankful. He was forever thankful, and that's how he treats his prayers. To pray with thanksgiving. We've got to cultivate this in our life. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. And you know what? He taught Timothy this principle. Because notice verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He hadn't even begun to pray. He hadn't even gotten on his prayer voice, but he's offering thanksgiving to God for what he's about to pray, because he knows that God has all the answers. The Apostle Paul is confident that when he calls upon God, he's going to connect with God's power. He's going to connect with God's promise, so he's thankful ahead of time. How many know that you need to be thankful ahead of time? Amen? You need to start thanking God today for tomorrow to avoid the dangers that tomorrow presents itself. You need to be thankful that you have a God who's smarter than your enemy. He's wiser than your enemies. He's more powerful than your enemy. You have a God who can deliver you out of all troubles. Start thanking God for that today. How do you cultivate a attitude of thanksgiving? You've got to do it in peaceful times. Thank God for Victory Christian Fellowship. How many people are thankful for this church? Amen. Thank God for this church every day. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the people, for the building, for the land that God's given us. I'm thankful that every time I walk into that parking lot, I see our mission field. We have a bird's eye view of our community. Go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. In cultivating an attitude of thankfulness, you've got to look for ways to express. Listen, thanksgiving has to be like John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. What do I mean by that? When he heard the name Jesus, he was like, let me out, let me out. Elizabeth said he began to kick and do flips inside me, right? That's how thanksgiving needs to be like a carbonated beverage on the inside of you that shook up and just waiting to be opened. What happens when you open a carbonated beverage that's been shook up? It affects everybody close to you. You need to be so thankful that when people get around you, they start thanking God. They may not even know why. Because you just are overflowing with thanksgiving. You exude thanksgiving. You breathe thanksgiving. Amen. This is how we got to be. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. What a revelation. You mean I should be thankful to God because he's good? Yes. If you can't find any reason to be thankful for, know that God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. That's Elohim, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. You are not without reasons to be thankful. You have more reasons to be thankful than to not be thankful. Amen. You have 66 books that give you reasons to be thankful. You have a relationship with God. That's a reason to be thankful. But we've got to cultivate this. When you cultivate something, let's say, how many of you have planted a garden? You know, I'm not really going to raise my hand. I planted a plant. I'm not really a gardener. My grandfather was a gardener. But how many know that you've got to prepare the ground, don't you? You can't just go into a field that has not been prepared and scatter your seed and, whoo, I'm going to get a harvest. No, you're not. You've got to prepare the ground. That's why God's got to work on some of your hearts. Because he can't just throw his seed on hard ground because it won't produce anything. He's got to soften the heart. Then you got to dig up the ground, right? You got to plow it. And once it's plowed, then you can plant the seed. But then you got to water it. Then when the seed starts to grow, you got to weed it, right? And you got to pray that there's enough sun and enough rain to water it. And then you watch it grow, and that's cultivating a harvest. You want a harvest of thanksgiving? Be thankful. Little things, be thankful. Something good, be thankful. Something bad, find something good to be thankful about. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. don't know if that's where I want to go. It talks about thanking God for his indescribable gift. Let me see if it's in 2 Corinthians. I don't think it's there, though. Nope, I have the wrong reference. Go to Psalm 34. We'll go to Psalm 34. Say, I'm a thankful person. You know, thankfulness will show up in your body language. You may not be much of a talker, but you're saying something every time. How you stand, how you listen, you're really communicating. But Psalm 34, verse 1, says, I will bless the Lord how often? At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, how does praise continually be in your mouth? Well, you should be a praiser at home. You should be a praiser at work. Amen? While you're taking a shower, you can be a praiser or a bath, whichever one you prefer. Amen? While you're eating, you should be thankful. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, no gift should not be received unless it's offered up with thanksgiving. He was talking about eating certain things. Amen? So thanksgiving does a lot, says a lot. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. See, thankfulness is how you get connected to God's blessings and benefits. You want more? Then be thankful more. To the level of your thanksgiving, and really, thanksgiving, you could take that word giving thanks. To the level that you give thanks is the level of how God pours out his blessing to you. And when you're a thankful person, God will even help you overcome your mistakes and your faults. The woman who anointed Jesus with an alabaster box, that showed a great degree of thankfulness. She took a year's wage and gave it to the Lord and poured it on him. And that's really what cultivating thanksgiving means. You go out of your, you go above and beyond, out of your way to give God praise, to glorify God, to extol him at all times. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So really, thanksgiving can be a sacrifice sometimes, because how many know sometimes you just don't feel thankful? You got all these things that are putting pressure on you, they're around you, and you don't feel thanksgiving, so you got to offer a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips. See, thanksgiving, even though it's not a fruit of the Spirit, it is fruit. Amen? It's a harvest of what you put in your heart. And the more information that you put in your heart about God, the more of a praiser you're going to be, the more of a thankful person you're going to be. Amen? The more Word and Spirit that you put in you, the more it's going to come out of you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Amen? Now, I want to look at an example. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2. The book of Daniel chapter 2. Go to Ezekiel and make a right. Now, Daniel chapter 2, this was at the time when Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. Daniel was exiled from his home. He was taken as a captive from his home, and he was brought to Babylon. Now, one thing about Daniel, though, was he was chosen to become well-versed in all the sciences and all the arts of Babylon because the king saw him as a person that he could train to be a ruler, okay? And God anointed Daniel. And we're going to read in verse 1 of chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. So this was a very troubling dream. It was a very disturbing dream that he experienced, okay? It alarmed him, all right? Then the king commanded to call all the magicians and astrologers and all the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Isn't it interesting that in order for you to interpret a dream, you've got to tell the dream, right? Okay, but King Nebuchadnezzar's thought process was messed up, okay? And he said, if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive my gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that if you can show me the interpretation of. So he didn't want to tell the dream because it slipped his mind. And he expected the people to interpret the dream without being told the dream. But I want you to know something of the power of thanksgiving. You know, when you have a thankful heart, when you're a thankful person, God will reveal his secrets to you. God will show you hidden things that only God knows. And God will reveal it to you because you're of a person who has a thankful heart. All right? It's so important to be a thankful person. It's important to cultivate this in our lives. Verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other than that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now this is an opportunity for any believer who has a thankful heart to tap into the power of God, especially if you're a part of this group. All right? Did you know that in the challenges that our nation faces, there are answers? It's just that some are not seeking the right answers. They're not seeking the right things. They're looking to other things, okay? But there's an answer. There's a solution that God wants to bring on the earth. But he needs someone with a thankful heart to reveal his secrets to, okay? Daniel was one of this group. He had the ability God gave him to interpret dreams. And the king was angry, and he was going to kill every wise man in Babylon. And so the decree went forth that all the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows be slain. Daniel was going to get killed along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right? Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. It's good to have favor. It's good to know people, amen? And then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So what did Daniel do? He called a prayer meeting. See, what was his first response? He didn't complain about being on the king's hit list. He didn't throw a party saying, this is going to be the last time I see you guys. I'm having a going home party. He didn't complain, whine, or grumble about the situation. He prayed. See, his focus is not on the circumstance. His focus is not what's happening out here. His focus is here and here. Because Daniel walked in the peace that passes understanding. Even though he did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. Okay? And verse 18, they desired the mercies of God. You know, his mercies are new every morning, but do you desire them? Do you go after them? Do you pursue them? Concerning this secret, Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You mean there's an answer to get off the king's hit list? Absolutely. But you got to be connected to God. How are you connected to God? You're connected with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart. Notice, they sought God, they sought his mercies. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his. He's beginning to praise God for who he is and what he's done. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you. He's giving God thanks. And I guarantee you that he walked in this. He had a thankful heart. He was a thankful person. He was mindful of the things of God. He knew when God was at work. He knew it wasn't God's will for him to die. He just didn't accept it, even though it was a law. Listen, when something, any law that man makes that contradicts God's law, it is not a just law. Daniel broke the law. No, he just went according to a higher law. Yeah, he broke man's law, but listen, when you have a choice between God or man, go with God. I thank you and I praise you, God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of you, for you have made known unto the king's matter. Isn't that awesome? How thankfulness revealed the secret that God, only God knew. It was having a thankful heart. And because Daniel had a thankful heart, he could confidently pray to God. Because I'm sure that even though it's not written, he prayed with thanksgiving. I mean, right there, he's shown that thanksgiving is a part of his prayer. So, the secret was revealed. He went before the king, and he interpreted the dream. And when you have secrets revealed from God, you also have promotion, too. Daniel got promoted. He became wealthy. Why? Because he had a thankful heart. You mean thankfulness will do that? Absolutely. That's the power of thanksgiving. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Part of cultivating a thankful heart is really about walking in the fullness of God. What do you do when your car's on empty? You go ahead and fill it up, right? You pull into a gas station, you give them your money, however, and you fill it up, right? And when your car is full, you can continue to drive. And you drive until what? You need to fill it up again, right? And then you pull into the gas station, you fill it up, and you can drive some more. Amen? And if you're driving long distance, you drive some, you fill it up, you drive some more. You fill it up, you drive some more, you fill it up, you drive some more. That's how we need to live our lives. Too many people are running on empty because they don't keep themselves full. They're trying to drive on fumes. I know the gauge says Z, but I can make it a little bit further. Can you? You want to face the devil on an empty tank? He'll whoop you. When your tank is empty, the devil will whoop you. He will have a heyday with you. See, but you've got to be so full of God that it overflows. Ephesians chapter 5 is a very interesting passage here. He said, let's start with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means to walk wise. Young people, you got to make wise decisions. Wise decisions start with honoring God. Amen? Young people, you better know the Word of God. Don't wait till you're an adult to get the Word of God in you. You better learn how to get it in you now. You know, after a certain time, your parents stop feeding you. I mean, they don't literally take the spoon and put it in your mouth, right? You know, when you get to a certain point, you can open up the refrigerator, you can make whatever's in there, right? Parents, am I telling the truth? Okay. Then he said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Did you know that we live in evil days? We live in perilous times. How are you going to redeem the time? Number one, you got to understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? He said, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, we know what one will of the Lord is, don't we? From 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what's the will of the Lord? To be thankful. In how many things? In everything. Say, I'm thankful in everything. Because in everything you can look to God to be thankful for. So, if you want to redeem the time, you got to understand what the will of the Lord is. If you want to walk wise, this is part of understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You know, there was a time in my life when I used to get drunk. And being drunk affects how you think, it affects how you walk, and it affects how you talk. You'd be like, oh, you know, people are surprised. Pastor Doug used to get drunk. Yeah, when I was a teenager. I was a rebellious teenager for 2 years. I had some rebellion in me. I got around with the wrong people. I was doing what Pastor Fiona said not to do. I was letting the mixed multitude influence me. Peer pressure. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He equates being filled with the Spirit to being drunk. Now, I have been drunk in the Spirit. And let me tell you, it's a lot more fun being drunk in the Spirit than it is on alcohol. Man, I get drunk in the Spirit and I laugh and laugh and laugh. I remember one time we were at this restaurant. By my house growing up in Illinois, there were three or four truck stops within 5 or 6 miles of each other. And so we would, after church, we would go hang out. We would drink coffee. Man, you could sit at the table for $1.25 and drink coffee all night long. And you combine caffeine and the Spirit of God, and you got something going on. And one night, we had this awesome service at church. And we were at this truck stop, sitting at a corner table. There was about 7 or 8 of us. And man, we got to carrying on. One of the guys, he was laughing so hard, he slid out of his chair and underneath the table. After about 4 times of that, they asked us to leave. But see, when you're drunk in the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're intoxicated with God. You're full of God, and you just feel good. Les was probably drunk in the Spirit a little bit when he was at Rhema, right? Well, he said he was just buzzing a little bit, not quite drunk in the spirit. But you know what? I bet him and Kevin had a good time. I bet we're going to hear some stories about what God was doing. He was so full of God. He told me this morning, he said, I'm not a note taker, and I have pages of notes. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll do things you never thought you could do. But I want you to see something here. How do you be filled with the Spirit? It is cultivating a heart of thanksgiving. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, we have a book of psalms, right? Well, what's a spiritual song? It's a song that the Holy Spirit just gives you the words to. Maybe one day I will do my rap again for you. Because God gave me those words. It's a spiritual song. Then he said, so part of you being filled is speaking to yourselves. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now notice verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So here are some things that we can do to cultivate thanksgiving. You can talk to yourself. You can sing to yourself. You know, sing a thankful song. Amen? Just start making up things that you're thankful for and sing it. And you can do this on your own. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. How many want to be intoxicated with God today? I mean, so full of God. You know, I want Nelson to be so full of God that when I touch him like the Pillsbury Doughboy, he doesn't go, whoo! But when I touch him, out comes a scripture, out comes a word of God, out comes a song, out comes a hymn, because he's so full. You know, when you get a sponge, a dry, crusty sponge, right? You could chuck it at someone and hurt them, right? But when you take that sponge and you put it in water, what happens? As that sponge begins to suck up the water, it becomes soft. It becomes pliable. And when you chuck it at someone now, they just get wet instead of hurt. But this is how God wants us to be. You know, God is looking for a receptacle. Lisa, you're a receptacle for God. You're a container for God. Because you can just receive what God has and you'll yield to it without thinking. So Father, right now, I want you to fill up this container and fill up this receptacle, Father, with the goodness and the grace of God right now. And Lord, I thank you right now. Yes, Father, that joy fills her heart. In the name of Jesus. Woo! I told you, you're a receptacle for God's glory. Psalm 126 is a great psalm. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. How many of you were captive to something? Amen? And then you connected with God. God found you. You were lost. You were dying. You were alone. You were away from God. And God reached down and he pulled you out of that miry clay. He pulled you out of that mess and he set your feet upon a rock. Amen? We've all been there, right? So in essence, the Lord returned your captivity again. You know what? He'll do it again and again and again. We were like them that dream. When the Lord turns your captivity, you're like in dream world. You're like, whoa. You know, when you first get born again and you see these people praising God, you're like, whoa, this is cool. How many had that, you know, the first time you were ever in a spirit-filled church, you'd be like, oh my goodness, What are these people on? We're on Jesus. See, when the Lord turns your captivity, he gives you joy. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter. You know, God fills your mouth with laughter. And your tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Stand up, Miss Nadine. You know, she has testified that the Lord has done great things. So, Father, right now, just fill her mouth with laughter in Jesus' name. Because you have done great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just give her that joy, Father, in Jesus' name. Joy in the Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name. See, God wants, when God fills your mouth with laughter, what do you do with a mouthful of laughter? You laugh. Amen? When God fills your mouth with laughter, he expects you to laugh. God doesn't have to tell you a joke. All he has to do is touch you. All he has to do is breathe upon you. You know, one time I was on the church that I went to did crusades. And we were on a crusade to Fort Worth, Texas. We would do conferences during the day, and we would find the worst part, the worst neighborhood at night, with drug dealers and the project. We would go there and we would set up music. And they would sing, and then we would cover a 2-block radius, and we would share the gospel with people who were coming out to hear the music, or if they were standing on the street. And I mean, some wild things happen. But something funny on the bus happened on the way back, because I had spent extra time with the Lord for that particular time, and I was just full. You know, God gave me a revelation how faith is like pregnancy. And when I shared that with the people, this black lady looked at me and she said, are you sure you've never been pregnant? And I said, I'm sure. But see, when God gives you a revelation, you know, the revelation that he gives you the understanding of how it could actually be. And I started standing next to people, just like this, not doing anything. And all of a sudden, the people were just starting to laugh hysterically, you know? And I was just letting God move. But you know what? He said, be not drunk with wine, whereas that says, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Father, I give you thanks and praise that you fill this row right here with your Spirit. Take them to a higher level. It's not the waiters. You're going to have to get out into the boat. It's going to be so deep. I'm telling you, joy needs to come into this place today in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we're a thankful people. God's been good to us. We can give him thanks. We can give him praise. We need to stir up ourselves, and we need to be joyful, and we need to express that joy in the name of Jesus. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God, and he's filled our mouth with laughter and our tongue with singing, saying, look what the Lord has done. He's done great things for us, whereof we are glad. See, now I know Mr. Mike is glad, because when he's glad, he has such a hearty laugh. It comes from the depths of his soul and his body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, feel the anointing of God. Let that anointing flow right now in the name of Jesus. He's done great things for you, Mr. Mike. He's done great things for you. Oh, hallelujah. He's done great things for you, Rich. Whereof you are glad in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. I want you to stand up on your feet. And we are not going to keep silent. We are going to express our praise to God, because we are cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving. And when you're a thankful person, the party never stops. The Holy Ghost keeps on flowing like a river in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, fill this place right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you are asking, what's happening? They're just getting happy. Let's get happy. Let's get happy in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorobokasanda Barokosanda. Harabakosanda. It's time to turn that frown upside down. When you think of God's grace, He'll put a smile on your face. He'll put a song in your heart. Young people, you can join in. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 Nate. Oh, Nate, God's given you joy. Let that joy flow right now in the name of Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Soroboka sanda, raboka sanda. Halamaroka sanda. I'm telling you, the water's good. Come on in. Jump in. Jump in. The water's good. The water's good. Jump on in. Ha, ha, ha. It's time that we express the joy to God in this house. God. Some of you might need to step out into the aisle. You might need to dance or run. Hallelujah. I just want you to know God's giving you a high five. A high five by the Holy Ghost. Father, let that fire be shut up in his bones right now. Fire, 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 fire.
That tells you what we need. Oh, the sound that draws you where
we are. If you need a healing in your body
what we're
right now, so you need healing. You're doing more talking and less walking. Stop walking. walking in the blessing. Start walking in the promise and get in and just let God have his way in Jesus' name. Thankfulness must be expressed. You must let it out of your heart. It must come through your mouth and be seen in your body in the name of Jesus. When you're thankful, you're not ashamed. Hallelujah. When you're thankful, you can care less what people think. Into dancing. Hallelujah. You ain't seen nothing yet. Ora basandra.
In the river, we're gonna dance in the river. gonna dance in a river. We're gonna dance in a river. Try with us. We're gonna dance in a river. 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 Yeah. We're gonna dance in a river. Yeah. We're gonna dance in a river. Are you ready to dance? We're gonna dance, dance. Everybody dance now. Across the place, can we do that from the back to the front? Everybody join hands with one another across the aisles, all the way across the aisles. We're gonna dance together, okay? So you're holding on to somebody, and that's your dancing partner tonight. Okay, that's your dancing partner. In a minute, we're gonna do this together, okay? Hold on. We're gonna do this together in just a minute. But we want to dance together in the river Jesus, that everywhere it flows, it brings life to dead places, okay? That's what we're dancing for. So here we go. We'll try.
We're gonna dance in the river.